What a great hymn that is. Well, it's been some week, and some of us are still struggling with that. Lynn's been stuck in Durham for 4 days and hopes to get back up today. And I think we all probably have our own memories of or pictures of what's happened in the last week. Two to share with you. One is, I didn't realise that First Bus was so expensive. They're shocking. First Bus is probably the... I'm stunned. And the reason that I'm stunned is this. On Wednesday morning, I go in by train, so I walked down to train station. There was a train there, but the train had been there for an hour and a half. And so therefore, I thought, well, I've got to try and get in. And I got on the bus, and I said to the guy, can I have a return to Buchanan Street? And the guy gave me a ticket, £4.50. That's not my problem. So I got on the bus, and I got to the end of the bus. And I'm standing there because there was no seats. And I thought, well, I better check my emails. So as I'm checking through my emails, here's an email from work saying, we're closed. Now, at this point, we'd gone about 70 yards. And we were crawling along the traffic. And I made my way back through. I got to the driver and I said, any chance you can let me off? £4.50 for 70 yards. You work that out. So that is the last time I'm using First Bus. The second picture came, it was on Thursday night, and this passage we've been looking at today has been quite important to me in the last month, and it meant quite a lot for various reasons. And there was a lovely little bit in BBC Scotland News. I'd watched it at 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock and 10:30 because... I didn't have anything else to do with my life at that point in time. And they showed this lovely clip of a farmer, and he was very concerned for his sheep. And so there's a picture that will come up in a moment of a farmer. It's not the same one, but this was a farmer who had got out to his sheep in the fields for two reasons. One, to feed them, but also it's lambing time. And he was very concerned for them. And it was a really nice interview. And the interview went along the lines of, you know, how do you care for the sheep? And having been in the parish in Eaglesome, there were quite a lot of farmers. They really do care for their animals. It's something you tend to forget. It's not just a business, that they actually care for these animals. And the clip in BBC News was of this farmer who was out in the thick of the snow. And he was, as he said, there are one or two who are going to stray away from the flock, and they might well be caught in drifts, and I've got to find them. A bit like the story, the parable we were telling earlier with the children, that he was out there looking for the individuals. So we have this picture of the good shepherd who cares for the flock. Actually, he cares for the sheep. So if we go on to the next slide, there are a number of things. I'm going to look at three aspects of what they talk about in this passage. Number one, I want to talk about the shepherd. And then I want to talk about the sheep. And then I want to talk about the gate. Because they talk about this thing called I am the gate. And for us, we think, well, what are you talking about? I am the gate. So I wanted to sort of talk about that. I am the good shepherd. And there are various things that are said within this passage. And the first one is this, is that I know my sheep by name. So if you've got a flock of 60, then you probably have different names for them, especially if you are in Israel, because in Israel, they don't actually have the sheep. The sheep is more about wool than it is about food. So the shepherd probably has these sheep for a period of time, and it's not just as lambs. He sees them through their life. So he knows them by name, and he'll call some of them black ear or jumpy or whatever, based on their personalities or their colouring or whatever it might be. He knows them by name. One of the worst things in my personality, I'm shocking with names. I don't know if anyone else has got this problem. I'm terrible with names, and I panic. When I meet people, I panic because I can't remember their name, and names are really important. I remember once when I was training years ago in my office, they had these partners who were really important people. And I was walking down Buchanan Street, and Mr. Hurst, my partner, came alongside me and said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." And she said, "Are you in your second year?" "I'm in my second year." And he walked me all the way down. And he got up in the lift, and 5 minutes of conversation with a senior partner. And as he walked away, he says, "Martin, that was nice talking to you." And I thought, he hadn't a clue who I was. And names are really important. And I walked away and I laughed about that. But actually, names are really important. Isn't it nice to know that Jesus knows your name? He knows us as a flock, but actually he's also very interested in you and you as a person. The second thing it says in the passage is he knows his sheep. So if you've got a flock of sheep, you will know the ones that are timid. You'll know the ones that are wanderers. So whenever the shepherd in Israel were looking for the sheep, they do wander in Israel more than here. Why? Because there's not much grass. So they wander to try and find food. So he knows that there are wanderers. He knows that there are some that are timid. There are some that are really stupid. I mean, you see different dogs, and some of them are cleverer than others and do things, and some of them are more loyal. And the shepherd knows these sheep. He knows them. He's known them for so long that he knows each of their characters. When he gets into that field, he says, "I'll bet you that wee wanderer's will be around there," or whatever. He knows the sheep. Do you find that a comfort, that Jesus knows you as an individual? He knows your history. He knows your situation today and tomorrow. He knows your personality, that strengths and weaknesses. He knows us. I take comfort from that because he's a good shepherd. And he's not going to hammer you for the things you get wrong, but he knows us. And he knows how we're feeling day by day. I find great comfort in that. The third thing it says is he goes ahead of them. So sheep and shepherds in Israel is quite different, because what happens is the shepherd walks ahead of the sheep. That doesn't happen in our country. And you've got the guy in the wee moped thing behind, or not the 4x4 behind here. But in Israel, the shepherd would walk ahead and he would talk and the sheep would follow, because they know his voice and they would follow the shepherd. That's a great picture. Jesus is ahead of us, has gone before us, and there's no situation I think that we face nowadays that Jesus hasn't faced himself, in terms of disloyalty, pain, anger, being let down by people. He's been through it. He's gone ahead of us, and therefore when you talk to Jesus about things, you recognise, actually, you were there. So maybe there's a situation. I had a situation at work a while ago where I felt no matter what I did, people were going to judge me on it, either right or wrong. They would just say, they would always find me wrong. So if I chose this, they would find me wrong. Chose this, they would find me wrong. And then I read something about Jesus, and everything he did, the Pharisees just found fault in him. And so therefore, when you're talking to Jesus, you're realizing that you've been there. And therefore, you can be quite open and say, "How do I deal with this? How do I deal with this?" So he goes ahead of us. He's been there, and he's leading us. The other thing is, it says he won't abandon his sheep. There's a bit in the passage there that talks about a hireling. So in other words, you either have so let's just imagine you've got the shepherd. And these shepherds, let's just imagine they work a 6-day week. So what happens on the seventh day? So they've got to get somebody in to look after the sheep. Now this guy who comes in on the seventh day, he doesn't really know the sheep. So if robbers come along, what's he going to do? He's going to say, "Listen, just leave these sheep alone." He's just going to scarper. But what it says in the passage quite clearly, it says, "I'm not like a hireling. I don't give up. I don't run away from my sheep." And that's even when they're stupid. Even if the sheep are doing stupid things, I will not abandon them. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is this one. It's in Isaiah. And Isaiah the prophet is talking about Jesus coming. And he says this about Jesus: "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. So sometimes you feel really weak and you're pretty pathetic, to be frank, and stupid. And you think, why does God get any time for me at all? Because I failed, I do this, I do that, I'm pathetic. And it says here, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. He will not abandon us. And that's a great thing. Irrespective of where we are and what we've done and what we're up to and where we are in our mind, he will not snuff us out and he will not abandon us. He will stay beside that pen with all of the sheep. And if robbers come, if wolves come, doesn't matter. I will not leave my sheep. And then the last thing about the Good Shepherd, it says that he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, this is a really difficult picture for me. Can you imagine? You've got a pen full of sheep in Israel. You've got the shepherd at the gate, at the door of this pen. And then the robbers come along. Let's say there's four or five of these guys come along and say, right, we're going to steal the sheep. And that's quite common, I would expect. They just do a bit of sheep stealing. So they come along and they come to this pen and you've got the good shepherd there. He says, what are you guys up to? Well, I'm going to just steal the sheep, so just give us the sheep, don't give us any trouble. And he says, no, these are my sheep. No, you don't get this, five of us guys to you, so I think you better go. And he says, no, I'm not going. In fact, I'm willing to die for the sheep. And that actually is a really strange. I mean, if you were a really good shepherd, would you still give up your life for the sheep? And the answer is no, you wouldn't. There's a point where you say, actually, they're just sheep. Just take them, guys. Just take them. But no. The most amazing thing is that Jesus died for us as individuals. He went to the cross for our sins. And he died the good shepherd. It's a superb, superb picture that they use in the Bible about Jesus, the good shepherd. Let's have a look at the sheep. Sheep, which is on the next slide, I think. There we go. Sheep. When you think of sheep, what do you think of? I think of them as rather fickle and stupid. Sorry? But you do. So the picture I remember was years ago as a family in Brodick, right? And we got on the ferry, we're coming home from our family holiday, and we're on Brodick on the ferry, and we're up on the looking over Brodick, because we've had 2 weeks of a fabulous family holiday, and we're looking over, and what happened was that there was some sheep going to come on the ferry, and they ran them down the hill. So this was their idea, they were going to run them down the hill, and they'd set out the gangplank sort of thing in a way that they couldn't, they just would run all down and then straight onto the boat. So we were all watching this. But so they all came down and they started coming down, and somebody had left a suitcase. So there's a suitcase lying there. So the first one came along and jumped over the second, and the second came and jumped over, the third one came and jumped over. And then somebody saw what was happening and kicked the case. The next one jumped over this thing. The next one came and jumped over. They jumped over nothing. Every single one of those sheep jumped over nothing. There was nothing there. But they were, oh yeah, we'll do that. Oh, we'll do that. And in some senses, when I think of a sheep, I think of something that, you know, there's not much going on there. Maybe. And it's a good picture. And they're very ordinary. You know, you see this bunch of sheep and there's an ordinariness about them. I like the picture of sheep in the Bible. I think it's a really good picture of me. Ordinary and also fickle at times. Yeah, I can be good at times, I can do good things, but actually I can be stupid and fearful and various other things. I think it's a great picture. And yet in this passage, the sheep come out really well in this passage. There are three things that are said, so if I can move on. First of all, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. These guys, you know, in some senses you think they're stupid, but actually they're pretty smart critters. They've worked it out. If you listen to the shepherd's voice, you'll be okay. Because this guy's looking after you. He'll feed you. He'll take you to where there is food. So therefore, the sheep have got it right because they listen. And that's our job too, as Christians, is to listen. And it's not easy to listen and to hear God's voice, and amongst a whole load of messages that come at us in our life, how do we hear God's voice? And that's why church is so important, that we come to church and we listen. I've been very fortunate to be in this church now for 2 and a bit years, and I have heard God speak to me in this church on a regular basis. And that not just through Neil's ministry, which was fantastic, but also since then I've heard God's voice through people up here, but also by people over coffee and tea and at the men's, you know, breakfasts and the men's curries and things like that. You can hear God's voice in church. And you hear God's voice as you read His Bible, as you read the Bible, and that's not just about church, that's about in our daily life. God speaks to you. And especially when I'm under pressure and I read the Bible, God speaks to me, and I find it so helpful and comforting. The sheep actually were pretty clever because they listened. And the second thing is, they were smart because they didn't follow others. They tended to follow the shepherd. Have you ever gone to talk to sheep? I'm a really nice guy. I rate myself as, I'm quite a nice guy. I like people. I try to be friendly to people. Sheep don't like me. Because every time you go to talk to a sheep, it runs away, yeah? Not all the time. Well, you must be a bit special. But as soon as you move towards sheep, they will tend to move away. Because they know who their shepherd is. So when the shepherd arrives with food and they'll shout out, or even when they'll hear the shepherd coming in the vehicle, they'll know and they'll move because they know the shepherd and they don't follow others. And that's important for us too, that we follow God and we follow Jesus' teaching. And we don't get dragged away into other things which actually take us away from Jesus' teaching. So it's not following others, but actually staying close. So these sheep got it together. They're not stupid. They're actually quite smart critters. And the third thing here is they know the shepherd. A moment ago, the shepherd knows the sheep, but they know the shepherd. In other words, they'll know when to go near the shepherd when he's in a good mood. They'll also know when he's cantankerous or whatever it might be. So they know the shepherd and they'll know the shepherd's moods. And therefore, they will watch and they will do what they're doing based on what they're seeing this guy's mood's about. They know the shepherd. So the shepherd knows them, but they know the shepherd. So here's the question for you. Do you know God? Now, that's a huge question because there's so many aspects of God that's just mystery. But actually, there's a lot of stuff that we can understand. Forgiveness. Mercy. Anger, because God does get angry. Remember Jesus in the temple throwing over the tables. We've got to try to understand what God is like. Because if we understand what God's like, we'll take those values into the world and we'll stand up for God's values. So it's not only Jesus knowing us, it's us also knowing God. So these sheep had it together. Just one last wee comment at the end. Jesus started annoying the Pharisees. Because at this point he says, and by the way, there's a flock, but I'm going to actually make the flock bigger. Because at that time, the religion was all to do with the Jewish people. And Jesus is basically saying, by the way, this is going to get much bigger because I'm not just going to be talking to the Gentiles. I'm going to the Jewish people. I'm actually going to anyone who's not a Jew. That's us. So Jesus right back then was saying, by the way, this flock's getting bigger. Let's move on to the gate. The gate's an interesting thing. It's only when you see a picture of this that you might understand it. I am the gate. That doesn't make sense. The gate, what did that mean? Well, the Jewish people would understand exactly what this meant. So, during the summer periods, the sheep would go out into pasture and they would stay out overnight. And that's the most dangerous time for wild animals and also for robbers. So what they used to do is, in different parts, they would create a pen. Sometimes it would be bricks, but sometimes it would just be sort of bits of wood, etc. And they would create this pen, and at night, the shepherd would take all of the sheep, and he would put them in the pen, and then he would close the gate. No. They didn't have a gate. So what happened was they put all of the sheep in, and when the sheep were all in the fold, he would sleep at the entrance. He would sleep right across it, so they weren't getting out and nobody was getting in. Jesus said, "I am the gate." He was the gate. He was the person who was keeping them safe from what was outside. So here's a couple of things it says about the gate. Number one, there was a gatekeeper, and that's Jesus. And Jesus is looking after these guys by being the gatekeeper. Nothing can get in, and nothing, they can't get out. There's a safety within that pen. And Jesus is the gate. He says, "I'm looking after these sheep. I care for these sheep. I'm willing to give my life for these sheep." And there's a couple of things that I find very interesting in this, what it says. First of all, he says, if they come past me to go in, and they're safe inside. Once they get in, they're safe. And I find enormous comfort in that by being part of Jesus' family, being part of the Christian family. Through Jesus, I'm saved. I'm safe. And that's wonderful. So I'm in this Christian family, not by my own merit, but because of what Jesus has done. So I'm part of that family. But also, if you think of that pen, so there's a safety inside. Does that mean that we stay inside all of the time? Does that say as Christians, yeah, we just stay as a holy huddle and let's just all have a good time together? And the answer is not at all. Not at all, because we are salt and light in the world. We've got to get out there. So first of all, we're safe inside, but it also says that he will lead them out of the pen. So in the daytime, he will say, "It's now safe, I want you guys out." He will lead them out. And that's where you and I are tomorrow, or even later today. We leave church, our Christian family here, and we go out, and we are salt and we are light outside. We're in the world, but not of the world, is a helpful phrase. We're out there, and we're trying to be Christ's ambassadors out there, recognizing that we are Christians. And he leads us out. So when we are out and in difficult places, he is with us. He's ahead of us, and he's with us in that situation. And then, just to finish this whole thing off, he's talking about safety in the pen. He's talking about leading us out and being with us. And it comes up with this classic phrase that this will lead to life in all its fullness. Life, and that's what it said, that's what Ian read to us, that this will lead to life in all its fullness. And I'm sorry, I don't see any marketing adverts on television that will tell you that. But what Jesus is actually saying to us is, if you follow me, I will give you the best life. I will give you life in all its fullness. And I look back in my life, and I've talked this over with a number of folks, some of them in full-time Christian work with Scripture Union and some charities. And I said, do you think your life would have been better by not being a Christian? Because some people think Christians are totally dull. And here's the question, do you think your life has been better by being a Christian than not being a Christian? And I'm straight in there and saying, better by miles. I think it's a really enriching life. It's a life of fullness. So I'm very grateful for that. And I think the life that Jesus gives us is a life of fullness. Okay, let me just stop here just for one second. Why does this passage mean so much to me? And the passage meant so much to me over a period of time where I had an anxiety going on in my life. And there's a brigade of people who are not in their stomach. You might be part of that brigade at this moment in time who has a knot in their stomach. And it might be about work tomorrow. It might be about church. It might be about family. It might be about a phone call you have to make or a phone call you're expecting. You've got a knot in your stomach. And I had that knot in my stomach. And it was a knot in my stomach that wasn't going away for a while. And it was getting to me. And then I read this passage. And when I read the passage, I said, "Jesus, you are the good shepherd. And sometimes I feel quite safe in here. My problem is out here at the moment. Now, you're the good shepherd and you're going ahead of me. And I'm trusting you today to go ahead of me because I don't know what's going on. And I'm uncertain and I've got a knot in my stomach. Now, at that moment in time, the knot in the stomach is supposed to disappear. And it didn't because I'm a sheep. And I still had that knot in my stomach because I still was uncertain about it. But there was something inside me that also said, yeah, Jesus is with you. The good shepherd is there when you're in the fold, but he's also there when you're outside of the fold. And if you're feeling an anxiety, you're part of that knot in the stomach brigade at the moment, I would say to you, just read the passage and talk to the good shepherd about it, because that's all I did. It was a very simple thing that I did over a period of time. When I was praying, I said, I'm going to go back to that passage. You are the good shepherd. I'm a sheep, and I'm struggling at the moment, and I found that really helpful for me in my life. It's a really strong passage to help you in your Christian life. One last thing, and it's the second passage that Ian read for us. And in that passage, it talks about Simon Peter having failed, who'd denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus said, do you love me? And Simon Peter said, yeah, feed my lambs. There's a verse in 1 Peter that says, be shepherds of God's flock under your care, not lording it over them, but being examples to the flock. Jesus is not with us bodily anymore. We are now shepherds. Who are the shepherds? I thought about this, and it could be the minister. It is the minister. Did you ever get a prayer down the phone from Neil? Anyone ever get a prayer down the phone from Neil? I got one. Hey, the phone one day, and he prayed on the phone for me. This is strange. But he did. He said, look, you're upset. I'm going to pray for you. Good man. He was a great pastor. He cared for his flock. Cared for his flock. So is it just ministers that this baton's been handed to? No. It's quite clear in the New Testament that elders, if we are an elder, that is part of our duty and care, is to care for the flock that we have here. But it goes beyond that, surely. It goes beyond that in the sense that every single one of us has somebody that we care for. Round about as neighbours, family, friends, people at work. So the baton is moved over. We are good shepherds. We have to be good shepherds out there caring for our sheep. It's a superb passage. I'd suggest you might even go home and have a wee read at it yourself. There's so much in there to comfort us and help us in our lives, and knowing that we have a good shepherd and that we as sheep should be following and listening to his voice, and also that we are shepherds ourselves to care for people. Let's take a moment to think about that before we sing our next hymn.